Grace Hopper said, "Humans are allergic to change. They love to say, 'We've always done it this way.' I try to fight that. That's why I have a clock on my wall that runs counterclockwise. Today we're going to look at, is it time to ditch traditional sales metrics?" I've been in sales for the best part of 15 years and was of the era of cold calling, smashing out 100 calls a day. I worked in recruitment, was trained up at Michael Page International, and you know, if you like me, you were in sales in the pre-social, even pre-internet, in some cases. For those of you listening to this, we've all walked down that well-trodden sales path. You know, the more calls you make, the more meetings you will have, the more pitches and proposal opportunities you will have. Therefore, general rule of thumb that with us was that, you know, you had to have sort of 10 plus sort of meetings in the diary, which would then go to sort of 5 meetings, which would be sort of second meetings, follow-up meetings, and out of that you should be closing 1 in 3, if not 2 to 3 3 deals. I mean, in recruitment, obviously the turnover of roles was much higher, so I recognize that in some industries, in the software space, legal, accounting, you know, the deal cycles can be considerably longer. But it was still a volume game. The more you put in at the top, typically the more you got in at the bottom. You know, the metrics back then were simple, and I was focused on, you know, how many calls did I make that week. You know, for my recruitment days, it was not only phone calls, how many CVs were you sending out, how many roles were you recruiting at any given time, how many first interviews did you have, how many second interviews, final interviews. I mean, you get the picture. You know, are there any other candidates in the process that you're not in control of? And, you know, you'd sit down every Monday with your manager, and he or she would go through religiously, like a metronome, through your sales pipeline, asking the same questions day in, day out, you know, trying to understand where all of you were in your sales process. You know, we certainly found that it was pretty cut and dry for those that could make it sales, those that couldn't. Glengarry Glen Ross was like a training video for us, and those of you who are aware of that, you know, it's one of my view Alec Baldwin's greatest ever seeds. You know, the leads are weak, you're weak, or, you know, put that coffee down. We could regularly be heard shouted across the open plan office in most of the time in jest, but sometimes there was some truth behind it. And your figures were all for the team to see on the whiteboard. You know, monthly firm-wide league tables were emailed around the entire business. You know, second place very much was first loser. You know, there was no prize for coming second. Certainly what became clear to me was that it was not necessarily the number of calls you made or how long you were on the phone for, but actually the quality of information you had before you made the phone call. You know, that's where you got your higher chances of success. If you had as much information beforehand, you could then start to decide, okay, based on what you understand, your experience of previous roles or sales situations that you've been in, you know, where is my highest chance of success going to be? And there was always a debate around this within my team. Three of us were always being picked on for being at the bottom of the table for our call time. However, we used to point out regularly that, you know, we're at the top of the table for revenue. You know, pay us more money and I'll make more phone calls. And that was when the start of the way that we were rewarded was driving actually our behaviour, because we knew that if we did so much, we would get paid so much, and there was no point doing any more because you typically wouldn't get paid any more. So it was not surprising that the call metric stat was soon, in terms of, you know, time spent on the phone, was soon dropped, because it was soon becoming evident that just by people spending a long time on the phone doesn't necessarily mean they were having smart conversations. You know, if you fast forward to today and look at all the research that's coming out from, you know, Gartner, Harvard Business Review, Microsoft, you know, you name it, LinkedIn, the buyer is, you know, far more in control of the buying process. Sales definitely is no longer a linear process. LinkedIn refer to this as multi-threading, in terms of how you as a salesperson need to, you know, work your way across multiple touch points on any given account or sales opportunity. Sales and marketing teams are now drowning in data overload. There is so much technology in the market today for sales and marketing teams. It's kind of, where do you start? And CRM is still getting the blame all these years on, yet it is still the beating heart of the majority of organizations. The challenge is that CRM gets the blame because the organizations or the users don't understand why they're using it, or rather they may have a vague understanding of why they're using it. It's just because the corporate machine needs to keep track of them. But there's no real focus on what outputs are you trying to generate and why you're trying to generate those outputs, and actually how useful would those outputs be. And we're still using legacy sales metrics that drive legacy sales behaviors, when, as I said, the research is showing, and if you do client feedback and client listening programs, then our clients aren't buying the way that we used to sell. So why do we still sell in the way that our clients no longer want us to, to buy? And I've been sat in seminars and workshops, and you can see the sales directors or sales leaders, dare I say it, they're senior, they've been in the game 20, 30 years, and they're wrestling with the logic that has been presented with them, but the attitude, but we've always done it this way, this is how I was taught way back when, this was the path that I trod, this was what was successful for me, we have always done it this way. And it's that kind of attitude which is going to start to really potentially damage organizations if they don't seriously consider looking at how one rewards its sales team and its sales function, because science proves that actually money is a really poor motivator to get people to do things, and it can actually drive really, really poor behavior. And if you look at the example in my own experience, that I basically stopped selling because I knew I wasn't going to get paid anymore, and so I'd either sandbag or I'd just coast, which doesn't do the organization I work for any favors, and certainly means that there could well be of candidates or opportunities that I missed out on because I was just coasting, because the way that I was being rewarded was driving that behavior. So are we looking at completely new metrics, or are we looking at revised metrics? And I think that in order for you to understand how this might look in the 21st century, and so few organizations do this, I do tear my hair out, is actually go and talk to your clients, go and talk to your existing client base, go and talk to your major house accounts, the key accounts that continually repeat buy from you, and actually go and understand why it is that they buy from you. What is it that you are doing well as a business? Why those individuals over and above everything else? What is it that you could be doing better? What are the competition currently doing well that maybe that you will learn from? And then a big question that is, why us? What did we do? But how did you buy from us? What did you do in the pre-qualification stage? How was that done? What did you look at? Was it the website? What marketing materials? Was it LinkedIn? Was it seminars? Were you referred to us? If so, who made that referral? Who else is involved in the buying process? How did they buy? All of this data is critical for sales and marketing to understand what is working and what isn't. And when you start to get more and more of this data, it will help you make the self-guided pre-qualification that your targets and clients will go through. That nominal 57% that Gartner states is what an organization or a buyer of services will go through in terms of their due diligence before they choose to engage with a salesperson. They are a considerable way along that buying journey. So you need to understand, what is it that they are doing in that self-guided journey before they're actually talking to your sales teams. By doing that, you'll then have far more relevant metrics of marketing to work with, which will then will drive far better qualified leads. This in turn will then drive higher quality sales calls, which will lead to higher conversion rates, proposals and win rates. And then you learn from this, you iterate and repeat. But the point of this is that if you start to create a better buying experience and you understand what your customers are doing, you engage in social selling, the metrics around that, so you're starting to drive more proactive inbound behavior from the people that you want to sell to, or as we'll go on to see, that your sales and marketing teams understand what is happening before they pick up the phone in order to have a much better sales conversation, which then gives the higher, higher conversion rates. This is then where you can potentially start to look at moving away from, you know, commission-based or commission-based sales metrics. For sales, the social selling index is a good metric in some respects, but it's a useful barometer to sense check their social behavior, but it doesn't necessarily mean if they've got a high social selling index that they're then going to start smashing their number out the park. You do need to look at other sales metrics and processes that need to happen in order for them to drive better sales conversations and so on and so forth. The key thing to look at though is the content piece. They do need to be out there sharing engaging content, and the more content that you share that is relevant, the more engagement they get and the more inbound that they will get. And so, are we looking at that you need to add not only look at the phone calls, and I'm not saying that we shouldn't be making phone calls, I'm saying that we should be making smarter phone calls. But if you blend that with your outbound marketing campaigns, if you blend that with the outbound content that your sales teams are sharing out there, this could be a different way to start looking at how you drive those metrics in terms of good behavior. And of course, I still make phone calls, and I still go to meetings, and I still go to pitches. And my sense is that every single meeting you go to should be viewed as a pitch. The customer, the client, is always buying. It's the thing that you need to consider is how many concurrent conversations are you having at any given time. And the beauty with social is actually those conversations can be amplified or multiplied by dozens of conversations, because that's what social enables you to do. It enables you to have all these different conversations at the same time in the market, whilst always attracting more pipeline to bring into to bring into business to start those sales conversations. I think that you should look at how your sales teams are starting to write their own content, because the message, you need to start sharing their own voice. They need to be getting their own voice out there into the market as when they're not talking to their clients. And that's the other great thing about social is, the old metrics were just relied on how many phone calls have you made and how long were you on the phone for. But actually, you should be looking at, well, when they're not on the phone, what are the conversations that are happening online? And the only way those conversations are going to be happening online is if your sales team actually has a voice out there. The other thing to look at and consider is then, once you've understood this whole sort of process, is that actually when you're generating the inbound and the content is being driven through, you can blend your phone calls, you can blend your meetings and your outbound content that's been driven. But from a sales attainment quota perspective, my sense is that if you engage in social and digital selling metrics and behaviors properly, then what will start to happen is you will just start to build your pipeline of inbound business. And then at any given time, you should be looking at month on month or quarter on quarter, these are the active conversations that are happening. And if you take away the pressure of quarterly sales numbers, then actually you won't be forcing your sales teams into a corner to have conversations or drive the buyers into a position to make decisions when they're not ready to make decisions and so on and so forth. So I think that the whole consideration for sales metrics needs to be considered, and I'm going to delve further into that. But from my perspective, we've got to stop looking at just at the traditional legacy metrics. You've got to start considering social and social interaction as part of that. And yes, by all means, record the phone calls and record the meetings. But I don't necessarily believe now it's a volume game anymore. I think it's the quality of conversation, and you should be using the sales and marketing data you have to drive that understanding of what good metrics looks like. As ever, thank you for taking the time to listen to me on this podcast, and I will pick up again with you next week.